One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, this is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR 4.840. Glad to have you in here tonight with us to join us on the Shepherd's Call. We've got a great program for you tonight. The question, cremation or burial, which one are you going to use? Basically, that's your only options. What has the Bible got to say about it? Or does it say anything about how to be buried? You know, the Bible is specifically clear. It says it's once appointed unto a man to die, and after death, judgment. So you really can't destroy the soul. Death doesn't destroy it, but there is powers that can destroy both. So we need to be very careful as we choose our actions in the earth. We're responsible for our actions. So let's get into the Bible and see what the Bible has got to say about how to be buried. You've got a body. You know, the Egyptians, they embalmed. Archaeology has basically told us that the application of a cremation generally didn't begin until about 3000 BC. It was probably most likely used first in Europe and or the Near East. And it became common to disposing of bodies by 800 B.C. in Greece and 600 before the Common Era in Rome and other societies who had other methods are mentioned. In ancient Israel, sepulchers or tombs or vaults were used for burial. Cremation was shunned. The body was exposed to air, and the tomb simply decomposed over time. The early Christian church rejected cremation, partly because of its association with pagan societies such as Rome and Greece. Those who cared for their loved ones buried them in graves or in catacombs or underground vaults. And we know, like I say, in ancient Egypt, bodies were embalmed because they believed that they were going to be resurrected and they wanted their bodies preserved. The Bible says, dust thou art, and in dust thou shalt return. Now, if we're going to turn to dust, and fire would bring about the development of dust, bodies going back to the dust sooner, what would be the difference if over time we decompose in a casket or a grave? Does it really matter? Well, again, what I want to clear up, and I've had a lot of people question me about these things, it teaches us to follow after the traditions of our fathers. Now, we know that Israel buried their dead. And since we came from the land of Israel, we are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, should we embalm or should we cremate? Cremate or cremation comes from the Latin word cremo. If I was to say I was going to cremo you, that would literally mean to burn you or to burn your dead body. So it really involves the application of high temperature, typically between 1400 and 2100 degrees Fahrenheit. And usually you are burned in a wooden box or a casket, a cheap casket which contains a dead body. So it's cheaper. A lot of poor people have to struggle with the cost of a funeral. Have you ever been involved in the cost of a funeral? Do you really know what it's going to cost you? The typical funeral runs between $10,000 and $15,000. Some can run as high as $50,000, and some can run as cheap as $1,000 to $1,200. So most of this is driven by your ability to put your loved ones away. Now, you know the nature of particularly Israelites. They never tell you where they want to be buried. They never tell you how they want to be buried. Most of the time, that question is shunned by the average family that abides in Jacob Israel. But should we prepare, make preparation? I know that there are a lot of people, and I believe I'm involved in that percentage of people that do this, that we need to live every day like it's our last day. Now, some people just don't think about death. They put it off. Be ye also ready. Christ mentioned, if I come back for you, that means when the death angels are sent to get your body or to demand your soul. Let's say you've gained the whole world. What are you going to give in exchange? When Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, the followers and leaders of other religions were either exiled or exterminated. Burial became the only method of disposing of bodies throughout Europe. An Italian professor, Berniet, developed the first modern crematory chamber in the 1870s. This triggered a movement towards cremation in Europe and North America. It's continued to this present day. In 1886, the Roman Catholic Church officially banned cremations. Church members, as recently as World War II, were excommunicated for arranging for cremations. The Eastern Orthodox of Constantinople stated in 1961 that there is no formal rule against cremation, but there is a heavy weight of custom and sentiment in favor of a Christian burial. There are currently about 1,100 crematories and over 500,000 cremations per year in North America, and that's growing because of the cost. Sometimes it's a matter of financing. A poor man that left nothing to bury him with, made no preparation, no life insurance or any savings to pay for his burial. You know, it's a shame to leave the world owing someone else the favor of you burying them. The burden of having to bury someone is tremendous. A lot of people that are honest really think about those things, and they should. Now, what does the Bible say, Pastor Buddy? And let's go to the Bible and see what the Hebrew Scriptures, it has references of disposal by burning in fire. Some verses describe the executions by the Philistines or the Babylonians, and it gives vivid descriptions. Burning of bodies and objects in ancient Israel was mostly reserved for idols, criminals, or enemies of the house of Israel. In Genesis chapter 38, verse 24, Judah initially ordered his pregnant daughter-in-law to be burned to death because he thought she was guilty of prostitution. Come to find out that she was pregnant by him because of his actions and his deed, and that action which he determined was she was worthy of being burned if she had played the harlot and had got pregnant. She would have deserved to be burned instead of given a proper burial according to the way that the Israelites done it. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 20, when Moses came down with the law of obedience, when he found the Aaron Israelites dancing around the golden calf, he burned it. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 14, the Bible states in its instruction that if a man marries a woman, and then later on marries her mother, then all three must be burned in the fire. If a man marries his wife and then, say, marries the mother, then all three were commanded to be burned in the fire. That's what Yahweh thought about the person that deserved to be burned. Now, does it extend to the point when you die that if you are burned or cremated, is it because maybe you've done a sin? No. There's righteous people that have been cremated. Whether or not, what we're trying to do is deal with a biblical issue. Now, it's not known whether they were burned alive or they were stoned to death, which was generally the way they did things, and their bodies burned later. We really don't know if a man married both a woman and his mother, her mother. All three of them were commanded. In Leviticus chapter 21, verse 9, if the daughter of a priest became a prostitute, then the Israelites were to gather her and burn her with fire. So then, it's a disgrace. A priest and the daughter. We do know that in the times of ancient Israel, prostitutes had a legal profession. But in the case of a daughter of a priest, if she chose the profession of becoming a prostitute, she was to be captured and burned with fire. Don't suppose that the priest had many prostituting daughters, you would think. In Numbers, chapter 16, verse 35, Yahweh exterminated Korah and 250 Israelite men with fire because they opposed Moses. Exterminate them with a fire. 250 of them. This is judgment. There's nothing that really more vicious than fire. You know, just a third degree burn hurts. Deuteronomy 7:25. Yahweh commanded that the idols of the pagan gods be burned, gathered and burned and destroyed with fire. Joshua chapter 7, verse 15. After Joshua and his army exterminated all the men, the women, and the innocent children of Jericho, then a few of Joshua's soldiers disobeyed his command, and they went and looted the city, and as punishment for the theft, and to pay for Israel's disgrace, Yahweh ordered Joshua to capture the thieves and to burn them and to stone them to death. Stone them and burn them. Their bodies were burned and buried in what is called the Valley of Achor. Terrible punishment. All they did is went in and took the city and disobeyed Yahweh's command. He told Joshua's soldier, don't touch anything in the city. Nothing. Leave it light. Burn it. And they disobeyed, and so they got burned for their disobedience. Sometimes it pays to obey Yahweh. Now, if you're considering cremation, I hope and trust that this doesn't confuse you. That you will think and prayerfully pray about these things and plan these things. In Judges chapter 15, verse 6, the Philistines burned Samson's wife and father-in-law to death. Oh, that was a horrible punishment. It seems that enemies burned their enemies rather than give them a proper burial. Now, is that psychological? To see your enemies burned as opposed to going out and give them a decent burial. You know, when Jacob died, his son, Joseph, buried him, embalmed him, as the Egyptian custom was. Jacob demanded and had his son Joseph to swear to him that he would not leave his body in Egypt, that he would take it and give it a proper burial in the family cemetery back in the land of Israel. Joseph kept his promise. And for 70 days, they invoked a mourning period for this great prophet, Jacob. And he was buried in a cave. And we know exactly where he was buried at. In Gilgal, on the northern slope, before he had slept, when he had his vision and dream, when he saw the angels ascending and descending, giving him revelations, where he had promised to serve Yahweh with all of his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength. And so, they gave him a burial of honor. Now, when you are burned, it's not to say that you are having a burial of dishonor. It's just the customs that the Bible had back at this time. If you were disgraced, like Saul here, listen to this one. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 11. Earlier, Saul had been wounded, and he asked for someone to kill him. He asked his armor bearer. The armor bearer refused. So Saul committed suicide himself. The Philistines found his body and those of his sons, because they had won the battle, and they impaled Saul's body, the king of Israel, and his sons, and left them on public display. And the people of Yabesh Gilead retrieved the bodies, burned them, and later buried the remaining bones at Gilead. You wonder, were the bodies decomposed to the point that a proper burial of embalming or putting in a sepulcher for the king. Saul was not buried in the Valley of the Kings like David or some of his successing king son offspring that were buried in the Valley of the Kings. No one has ever found this valley. Now, I taught on this the last couple of years, that it's strange that no one has ever found Jacob's body, Abraham's body, Sarah's body. Are they waiting or resting to be found at a later time to confirm the Bible? Those that are burned, that leaves no account. It's an unusual treatment for them to burn Saul's body because he was considered a hero. He killed thousands. And he was well known throughout the land of Israel, but he was disgraced. The Philistines won the battle and impaled his body and those of his sons. And all this was for disobedience And so then, there was a burning of Saul's body. It could have been that the people of Gilead may have been worried about the Philistines going and digging up the bodies of Saul and his sons and further desecrating them. I doubt that. It was probably necessary because the rotting king who done righteous in the sight of Yahweh burned the sacred articles out of the temple, burned the temple, and scattered the dust into the wind. Jeremiah, in chapter 29, verse 22, it contains a curse which refers to the time that the Babylonians burned Zedekiah and Ahab by fire. A curse. And so, it could be construed as a curse, all of your labor, to end in a fire, accursed. Amos chapter 2, verse 1. Yahweh proclaimed a death curse on Moab because he had reduced the bones of the king of Edom to lime through burning. Death curse on Edom. Now, the Christian scriptures, or what we refer to as the New Testament, contains very few references to burning the bodies or the objects. In Acts chapter 19, verse 19, sorcerers who were converted to Christianity brought their scrolls out to be burned. Burning seems to discharge, or to end, or to separate some of the things that you've been associated with in the past. Now, if you've lived a righteous life, and you prefer cremation for one reason or another, I believe the only justification to burn your body would be for the sake of not affording the funeral, or you don't want to leave the burden of an expensive funeral upon your loved ones. However, if the loved ones loved you, I can't see them agreeing to have your body burnt or cremated. Think about these things. The burial of a lot of important biblical figures is described in the Bible. This gives us what we call the tradition of the elders. In Genesis chapter 25, Abraham is buried. And the burial by his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, it was an elaborate funeral. Abraham, after all, was a rich man. But everything that he had in the will went to Isaac. Genesis chapter 23 describes Sarah, the beautiful wife of Abraham. It's recorded her funeral was conducted in Genesis 23. In Genesis 35 at Bethel, again, the place where Jacob longed to go back to be buried with his wife, Rachel. He loved Rachel. And in Genesis 35, verse 19 and 20, it describes Rachel's elaborate funeral. She wasn't burned. Can you imagine that Jacob would burn, or he could stand to see the body of his wife, Rachel, the beautiful woman of his dreams, the one he worked so hard for, the one that he actually had the birthright son, Joseph, the 11th son. I just can't see Jacob enduring the sight of burning her body. In Genesis 35, it's also recorded that Isaac was buried in the same area. So Abraham, Sarah, Rachel, Isaac, Jacob, these were gathered together with their fathers and buried in the cave that Jacob had purchased, or Abraham had purchased, for their family plot. So you think about these things. Prepare. Genesis chapter 50. It describes Joseph and the great effort to bury the body of his father, Jacob, in the promised land. It had been 300 years that they had been in bondage in Egypt. And after the Exodus, 40 years of wandering before burying the body of their father, Jacob. I wonder how many times that the sons had went to the place that housed Jacob's body, embalmed. The Egyptians were experts. There's none better of embalming. How many times that these sons, over those years, over 300 years to be exact, before they actually brought his body out and buried it. But they did go to great effort. They buried the body of Jacob as sworn by Joseph. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 6, it tells about Moses. Yahweh himself selected a place at a secret location, never revealed. It's strange, and I have preached on this great mystery, that no man has ascended into heaven except he who came down out of heaven. Moses was a proper child. It was strange. His birth was strange and mysterious. Only Yahweh knew where this secret location on the mountain of Moab. Joshua was buried in Bethel, in the same area. He was an Ephraimite, buried. And the recording of his burial, the one we call Yahshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verses 29 and 30, we find the burial of Joshua. In the same chapter, Eleazar was also buried in the same area, and Samuel, the great prophet, was buried in Ramah. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 1, it's recorded that Samuel, the great prophet, was buried, and he was awakened from his sleep, disturbed, if you will, by Saul, the king, who was going literally out of his mind, trying to get a word from Yahweh. He took a medium witch, and he invoked the powers through the witch to awaken Samuel or disturb him and communicate with him. Samuel, after his own death, prophesied that Saul would join him the next day, and literally, when Saul went out the next day to war, he was killed, as I have expressed it. He committed suicide because he couldn't find, he was mortally wounded, knowing that he was going to die. He didn't want to fall in the hands of the Philistines. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 10, the great prophet David, the one that killed 10,000 with honor, was buried in the Valley of the Kings. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 10, John the Baptist, who had his head removed from the rest of his body, he was buried. In Acts chapter 5, verse 5, Ananias and Sapphira were carried and buried. In Acts chapter 8, verse 2, Stephen, being stoned to death, was given a proper burial by the believers who carried his body and gave it rest. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to think about these things, how to please Yahweh. A prophet that disobeyed God, went against his wishes, was dishonored. Someone that obeyed Yahweh and kept the faith was considered to be given proper burial death. In 1 Kings chapter 13, starting with verse 22, the prophet of Judah that disobeyed God by returning back to a fellow prophet's house sat down and ate a meal when he had been warned not to do so. Yahweh put a curse on him that his body would not be buried in the tomb of his fathers. And shortly after, the prophet was attacked and killed by a lion, and his remains left by the side of the road. Now, why would Yahweh put a curse on him for his disobedience, that his body would not be buried in the tomb of his fathers? What was the importance of being buried in the tomb of the fathers? This was an Israelite tradition. I've described to you how that Jacob desired to be buried in the tomb of Abraham, and in the tomb of Sarah, in the tomb where Rachel, his wife, was buried, Isaac, and their relationship. It was an honor to be buried with your fathers. And it's strange that we carry the genetics of our fathers. Is there a connection? I happen to think so, in a deeper understanding that we are the flagship. If you are the firstborn, the chosen of the family, you are carrying the genetics of your fathers. If you keep the faith, if you follow after Yahweh, if you please Him, then that family has been honored by your attention to commandment details. It's called attention to discipline. To serve Yahweh in your youth. To be buried in the tomb of your fathers. If you're carrying the genetics, then you should be received into the tomb of your fathers with great honor. However, if you have squandered or you have disobeyed, like this prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13, you could meet a lion by the way and be destroyed. In Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 6, Yahweh himself laid a horrible curse on the Israelites, that many would die of diseases, that they would not be mourned, that they would be like refuse laying on the ground, and their bodies were to be consumed by animals and by the birds of the air. No honor. What honor are you leaving behind as your flagship carrier of your father's genetics? Have you kept the faith? Have you repented? Have you been baptized in the great name of Yahweh for the remission of sins? Have you kept his Sabbath? Have you strived to enter in at the straight gate? Have you kept the faith? Have you not denied his name? Can you lay in peace and honor among your fathers? Or will you be separated and disavowed? Will you be cursed like this poor prophet who sat down and ate a meal? He turned aside. Yahweh had told him, he said, turn not to the left or to the right. Do not stop. When you go out of the city, when you cry against the altar at Bethel, this is the last time that that altar that was built originally at Bethel, that was Jacob's altar. Yahweh gave the host of Israel up to worship Baal and the pagan idols. He had warned them. He had burnt their bodies with fire. He disgraced them. He told them that they would reap what they sowed. Those that went to great extent to honor their loved ones, their deceased ones. Today we can't wait for certain people to die to get their insurance and then have the cheapest funeral that we can have to enjoy the spoils or the benefits of the deceased. And that's awful. You know, it's a burden when you have a death in the family. It is so sad when someone is taken out that died so young. I had an example of some of my closest friends that live in the North Country. Just this week, they buried their young nephew. I think he was about 18 or 19 years old. They gave him a proper burial with honor and dignity. They selected him a burial site. They went through the burden. They weren't rich people, but they honored. It's very, very important to honor. You shall reap what you sow. If you read the scriptures. It says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. After death, the judgment. When does judgment begin? When it begins at the house of Yahweh. Yahweh. It says they will conscript your sons and make them honor and serve them. Go for the king. And Israel has long been favored to a king. We demanded kings in our midst. We have the king dynasty in England. And we make over them in some big to-do when they marry. It's very important to us to honor them. Ladies and gentlemen, would it not be more honor and honoring Yahweh to avoid the curse that he put upon kings? Kings themselves and their offspring can have the terrible consequences if they don't serve Yahweh. And Jeremiah 16:6, we find that Yahweh cursed this kingship and family and said that they would not be mourned. They would lay on the ground and not be buried. They would be consumed by the fowl of the heaven and the wild beast that wandered. Countless number of tombs throughout Palestine from the era of the Roman occupation, which have been excavated, only one skeleton out of all the excavation to be found, which bears the marks of a crucifixion. That is because after a Roman execution, the lifeless body would be typically discarded in an open pit, for it would be devoured by wild animals, to be forbidden a traditional burial. Cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Greatly to the horror of this method of execution, people feared crucifixions. But we know a man that has those wounds in his body. We know that we will see those wounds where he was wounded in the house of his friends. We'll gather one day and we'll look at all the scars that he bears for our sins. It's because that the scars are a witness to his crucifixion. That while you were in your sins, you died. Isn't it wonderful that you can call upon him today and not worry when you die of how you were buried, irregardless of whether you were buried with a proper funeral or whether you were burned? They can't destroy that soul. For that soul is in the hands with the wounds in his hands, bearing witness with your soul that you can hear him say with the ears of your devotion, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." Aren't you glad that you can be buried with your fathers? You can be buried with honor. And you can hear some preacher say, when he says his final words over you, let it be said, he kept the faith and he didn't deny that name. He died with honor. He died with a witness that one day a man that died with wounds in his hands, scars on his back, and in his feet, will raise him up and say, you are my child. I will never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. Come and enter in into the things that's laid up for you, that I have prepared for you, for your service to my cause. Oh, what a happy day, for the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for them that love and serve him. I love you tonight, and I extend to you an invitation that if you'd like to meet the man with the nail scars in peace, make peace tonight by repenting and obeying that form of gospel that was delivered to you, to have an honorable burial where you will never be forsaken. He will not leave your soul in hell to see corruption, as it is written, blessed are they that die in Yahweh, for he is the resurrection, and he is the truth. Get the truth. Buy it. Buy money if you need to. If you don't have someone to baptize you in the name of Yahweh, buy the money. If you don't have an automobile, rent one. If you don't know how to drive, get you a driver. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear the voice of Yahweh crying to you beyond the grave, because he's not the God of the dead, he is the master of the living. Put off the old man and put on the new that's created in the image of Yahweh. Take up your cross and follow him. Be you also about the Father's business. Shun profane and old wives' tales. Seek after that which is good. Do the work of an evangelist. Spend everything you can to promote Yahweh. You won't regret it. Lay up your treasures for thieves. Do not break and enter to a perfect system of treasure keeping. Yahweh has laid up for them that serve him, for the eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard, the wonders and the joys. Come, blessed of my Father, enter into the joy of the kingdom. You shall be the diamond in his crown. You shall shine as the stars of heaven when they drag and throw the lifeless bodies, burn them with fire, desecrate them, dishonor them. You kept the faith. You haven't denied his name. You're buried with a special anointing. I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yahweh bless you. If you've heard my voice tonight, call me. Area code 423-351-1082. You can write me. That's Pastor Buddy. Tonight's all you need. Pastor Buddy. Box 568. In Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Sponsored by Dr. Gary tonight. 1-800 or 1-88-289-7439. That's 1-877-289-7439. Tell Doc when you call him that you heard Pastor Buddy preaching about the resurrection and life after death. He knows a lot about this subject. Call him up. Tell him that you want to know more about this wonderful truth and baptism in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. Prepare to meet him. You're not promised. The Japanese found out hundreds of thousands injured, left homeless, thousands killed, mangled bodies, sharks feasting on their lifeless bodies as they float out into the ocean, swept away, never to be seen again. They didn't know that on the 11th would be their last day. They weren't expecting it. It came without a warning. Be you also ready, for you know not at what hour that the Son of Man could come for you. Go to our website tonight. Brother Bob's got our new website up. That's oneyahweh.com. oneyahweh.com. Brand new website. Got a lot of articles there. And we got a lot of live messages you can download free by just a click of a button. We put a lot of work, Bob has, many, many hours that he has set and programmed, developed our website. It's now up and running, and you can go there with a click of a button, www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. And we think you'll be blessed by going to our website. And if you'd like to contact me, you can go there and get the address, where to write, some of the information that's available. You can write us and ask for messages. We'll send you CDs. We'll send you tracks on the great name of Yahweh. How it was hidden, how it's not revealed, but to a few. Don't let it come down to the decision of cremation or burial. Don't let that be the last thing. Cross this bridge. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, Dr. Gary, 1-877, call him tomorrow between the business hours, Central Time, between 9 and 5. 1-877-289-7439. Well, my time is coming on. I'll see you next Sunday night around the world on WWCR 4.840. Many blessings to you. I'll see you tomorrow night on radio station WWRB. That's the 2.390 or 5050. I'll see you then tomorrow night, prime time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WWRB. Yahweh bless you and Yahweh keep you.